This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. This is For Life and Godliness, episode 9. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. On today's episode, we are going to hit the topic of Christians drinking alcohol. Now, the Word of God is replete with verses that command us not to get drunk. For example, there is Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 21. Envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. The pastor and the elder who is to be qualified for God's service is to not be addicted to much wine. We find that in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy chapter 3, where those are the qualifications for elders. And we can go on and on listing passages, but while numerous passages forbid drunkenness, these are often interpreted as commands to not drink at all. And in fact, there are some who would say that drinking, regardless of whether you get drunk or not, is sinful. I would just like to say that that is a gross misuse of the text. It is one thing to have a personal preference to not drink, but it is quite another to make your personal preference the standard that someone else must follow. Now let's look at some other texts of Scripture and deal with the idea of, is drinking sinful? In John chapter 2, we have the first miracle of Jesus, where at the wedding feast in Cana, he turns water into wine. Now, to be sure, this was not grape juice, but wine. But not just any wine, it was the best wine. And we know this because the head waiter, he came out and he said, what are you doing? Usually you serve the best wine first and then the poorer wine later. But you have saved the best wine for last. And, I mean, reason being is, you know, alcohol kind of numbs your mouth. And after you've had a couple of drinks of the good stuff, you can't really tell the difference in the poor stuff. But he says, you have brought the best wine for last. So we know that this was wine. This wasn't grape juice. If drinking alcohol is sinful, then at the wedding feast, you have Jesus contributing to the sins of others. What a horrible thing to place in the minds of people. Next, let's look at Matthew 11. Jesus is speaking to the crowds about John the Baptist. And in verses 18 and 19, Jesus says, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." In order for Jesus to be considered a drunkard, he would have to have been seen drinking wine. He would have to have actually been seen drinking alcohol. No one considers you a drunkard for drinking water. But also, this passage would indicate that Jesus wasn't drinking alone by himself, but publicly and with others. People saw him do it. This should also dispel the idea that if we enjoy a drink, we must do so in private. We're going to talk about that in a couple of minutes. But now, look, if you will, at 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Paul, he's writing to Timothy, his young son in the faith, and he says, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, in this text, Paul tells Timothy to drink wine for his stomach ailments. Now, at this time, there were no water filtration systems. And where you would get water, many of those places house bacteria that cause sickness. Therefore, Paul tells Timothy to drink wine, because alcohol kills bacteria. So when Paul tells Timothy to not drink water exclusively, but to drink wine, wine was also used for medicinal purposes at this time. So the reason for drinking the wine is so that the alcohol could kill the bacteria in the stomach that was brought in through the water. So it's very clear that drinking alcohol is not a sin, because we have Jesus turning water into wine, into alcohol. We have Jesus being called a drunkard because he was most likely seen drinking with others. We have Paul telling Timothy to not drink water exclusively, but to drink wine, to drink alcohol, because the alcohol kills the bacteria that's in his stomach that's causing him to be sick. Alcohol, like tattoos, is an issue of conscience. We have the liberty to drink, and yet we must take care how we drink, lest we cause another to stumble. For example, do not drink around someone who struggles with alcoholism. Do not take them to a bar. This would be causing them to stumble. And we are not to cause our brothers to stumble. We can go straight to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and see that we're not to misuse our Christian liberty, right? In instances like this, where we cause our brother to stumble, where we may drink around someone who struggles with alcoholism and say, oh, it's okay, I have Christian liberty, our liberty is actually turning into sin. But if your personal preference is not to drink, you are also not to impede upon someone else's Christian liberty. Now let me tell you a story from a faithful brother who had a personal conviction about drinking. Now he would agree that you cannot make a biblical case that drinking alcohol is sinful. He would admit that. You cannot make a biblical case drinking alcohol is sinful. But his personal preference is to abstain from drinking. That's perfectly fine. Now, he was given, as a gift, a bottle of wine. But he has a personal conviction not to drink. But he received this bottle of wine because it was a gift, so he received it. But him not drinking, he just kind of put it in his fridge, but he put it in the back, all the way in the back. And someone else came over to his house and saw that bottle of wine. And so he had this conviction right then and there that he could be a stumbling block. In his home, should someone come to his house, look in his fridge and see that bottle of wine in his fridge. And he was basically making a case that, you know, even in our homes, we shouldn't have alcohol. We shouldn't have these things because we could cause our brother to stumble. Well, I wholeheartedly understand the issue of being a stumbling block in public. Even given the verse or the text of Matthew 11 that we had already looked at, where I believe that Jesus drank publicly, I do understand the idea and the concern of being a stumbling block drinking out in public. However, once you move into telling me the drink that I can or cannot have in my own home, now you begin to impede upon my Christian liberty. And we don't want to do that. Drinking alcohol is a case of Christian conscience. If your personal preference is not to drink, then that is perfectly fine. But if someone else's is, then we cannot impede upon that or make them feel less than because they have a drink or because they have a particular view of drinking. So, is drinking a sin? No, it's not. We cannot make a biblical case that drinking is a sin. And it doesn't hurt our witness if we admit that we have a drink now and then. Drunkenness is the sin. What hurts your witness is not that you have a drink. What hurts your witness is that you become drunk. That hurts your witness. So is drinking a sin? No. Drunkenness is a sin. However, the misuse of our Christian liberty can be sinful, setting ourselves up as a stumbling block for others to sin. Believer, be resolved in your conscience. And should you partake of alcohol, do so in a manner that shows love and concern for your neighbor who may be struggling with these issues. And also do so in a manner that honors God. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.